Sairam, dear listeners, at the outset, I would like to extend my thanks to Brother Sai Prasad for having brought to us a beautiful interview with Sri L.V. Subramaniam, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and currently working in the most covetous position of the executive officer of the Tirumala Tirupati Devasthanam. And now this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh signing in to bring a special program as a part of the Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. Till the last class, we had learnt the Namakam, and before we go ahead with the other mantrams, we have a series of special talks on the Vedas. During the month of February 2013, on 23rd and the 24th, a workshop on Vedas highlighting the relevance and need for revitalizing Vedas was conducted by the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashantinilayam Campus. As a part of this workshop, Sri Maunish, a very well-known propagator of the Vedas, and most importantly, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan Baba, had eloquently spoken at length on the relevance, need, and the importance of Vedas in the world. We now bring to you the first part of the proceedings or the workshop on the Vedas.
Sai Shwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tannas Sarvah Prachodayat Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Invoking Bhagwan's blessings, presence, respected elders have taken time off to come to this Vedam workshop, respected Ms. Maunish Vyas, direct colleagues from higher secondary school and also from the institute, and dearest brothers, Sairam to one and all. We all know the importance which Bhagwan has given for Vedas, the Vedic life and Veda chanting. And I see many of the seniors here who have had the privilege of learning Vedas and also chanting in his physical divine presence in Sai Kulwant Hall. We all definitely know how much of importance Bhagwan has given for Vedic chanting. In fact, the other day we played the cassette wherein Bhagwan said, even if you do not know the meaning, you can go ahead, chant Vedas. No distinction of caste, creed, color, nothing. Swami said, everyone has right to do that. And Swami gave a beautiful example of a child sleeping. He says, the child who is in the cradle does not know the meaning, the subtle meaning or the gross meaning of the lullaby which the mother sings. But just the song, the lullaby song itself puts a child to sleep because it just enjoys it. He says, even if you do not know the meaning, we as the children of Vedas, says if you just chant, the mere chanting, mere confidence in the Vedas, the trust which we place in the Vedas, and chanting and hearing itself has so many, many benefits on our physical well-being and our mental well-being and our spiritual well-being. Bhagwan has time and again stressed that, and I'm sure actually during this workshop, Mr. Maunish will be mentioning that in his own way. So, in the institute, we had the chance to celebrate a Veda week, what we called it, Vedam Varam. Just to again highlight and mention to everyone that, you know, importance of Vedas and different aspects of Vedas, different subtle truths in Vedas and what Swami has to say about Vedas in a very, very small manner, because we have only just 15 minutes of prayer sessions in the morning. But within that, for 7 days continuously, last week, we had that Vedam Varam. That was conceived only as a prelude to this workshop, which is a little more detailed. And we are really very, very grateful to Bhagwan for making us come in contact with Mr. Maunish Vyas from Mumbai. In fact, just now I was trying to get some facts about Mr. Mounish, and then I was very happy to receive just few lines, just few minutes back. I wish to read this out for all of you. Shri Mounish Vyas got interested in Vedas upon the very first darshan of Bhagwan in 1983 at a very young age of 24. Before Swami's darshan, he had no background in Vedas or in Sanskrit whatsoever. After this Prathama darshanam, he started learning Veda without physical Veda teacher, merely by repeating whatever he heard. Just by mere listening, he was able to repeat, and he learnt in that manner in the beginning. After some time, Swami's grace got him two audio cassettes with a portable player, and he learnt chanting with the cassette player as his teacher. In fact, I may recall, this is not out of the way, sir. In fact, I too had the privilege of learning that from the cassette as instructed by Bhagwan directly. Let me tell you that. When I in Vednaran, sir, and probably he's the one who's there right now, we were all students of Vrindavan campus. That time when Bhagwan was telling, encouraging us to learn Vedas, you know, Swami was here and also in Vrindavan sometimes. So when he came there, he said, you should learn Vedas. But what to do? Swami, we are coming for Dasara. So when we came here, Swami told Kamadhani Garu, the, you know, great grand old pundit of yesteryears, to teach us. And then we learned in a fast track the Rudram, the Namakam aspect of it. And then Swami is to actually call us in the Poonachandra and then make us repeat daily and individually testing us. Swami would ask everybody to, we have a group of 15 or so, would ask us to stop, and then he said, no, individually you chant, and then we used to fumble. He said, no, individually you all have to really perfect. And then, after that, we had to go back because our Dasa holidays were got over. And then, we were wondering, because we had not completed Rudram by then, fully. Only a few Anivakas were over. And Swami said, then we were wondering how to do. So then one of us boldly suggested, Swami, can we tape Kamadhani Garu's voice and then ours repeating twice, you know, our regular way of the Guru teaches, and then we repeat twice. That also can we record. And then we recorded that and showed to Swami. And then Swami said, Manchiri, nechukondi, anything is okay as long as you have the purity of heart. That was what Bhagwan's instruction. And then I'm very happy that Swami instructed and Swami made him learn Vedas in that fashion too. In May 2004, he was invited to teach Veda at Sai Centers in Navi Mumbai. After this, he met an excellent Veda teacher who had studied both Rig Veda and Yajur Veda. This Veda teacher took him all over Bharatvarsha, where he interacted with teachers of Vedas in most of the Vedic Sakas. Now he teaches Vedam in Sai Center all over Maharashtra and Goa, or whichever Sai state organization invites him. He also teaches in an English medium school run by the Sringeri Matam at Kaladi in Kerala, which is the birthplace of Adi Shankaracharya, as you know. He also teaches internationally via Skype audio conferencing Vedas. He has got students all over. The Maharashtra and Goa Vedam team chants Vedam in Bhagwan's presence every year since 2009. As the leader of Maharashtra and Goa Vedam team, he was the chosen instrument to write and present several Veda books to our beloved Bhagwan every year so far. One of these books is the Rudra Tattva, which explain in extreme detail the esoteric and spiritual significance of chanting, understanding and implementing Rudra Tattva in our lives. By Bhagwan's grace, he has dedicated his entire life to chanting Vedam, teaching Vedam, explaining Vedic mantras and writing meanings and commentaries on Vedam. He offers a loving and open invitation to all sincere Veda lovers to approach him whenever, wherever and howsoever they wish. So he sort of made it so open, and then I'm told that he almost goes to every nook and corner of India to really propagate this Vedic culture, which was so dear to Bhagwan, and then participating in Bhagwan's mission in this manner. So we are very, very grateful to Bhagwan for making us know about you, and then also having the pleasure of having you here giving us this Vedam workshop. Without taking too much of time, I once again invite Mr. Maunish to our campus and to this Vedam workshop and request him to conduct the workshop there.
Om Sai Ishwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tannas Sarvah Prachodayat Atho Ye Asya Satvano Ahante Bhyokaran Namaha Namasabhabhyas Sabhapatibhyascha Namaha. My pranams at the lotus feet of all his Satvanahas, his Satvika devotees, who are giving me darshan right now. By doing so, by doing namaskar to the Sabha, I reach the Sabhapati. My namaskars to all of you. Sai Ram. I'll give you a breakup of the topics that will be covered now. First is the importance of Veda in this, into inverted commas, modern day and age. Because there is a big misunderstanding that in this rocket age, what will Veda do? Then, the second topic is the genesis of Veda. Whether Veda was born, or was it unborn, or how did Veda come about? Then, the third topic is the 60 sounds in the Veda. This will be very interesting for actual chanters. Because some of the sounds, you may be speaking, but you may not be aware that this is a separate sound. After that, there will be a 15-minute question and answer session, and then conclude this aarti to Bhagwan. So first is the first slide, please. If you open the book Sri Satya Sai Veda Vani, which is a collection of Telugu discourses collected by Gandikota Subramanya Shastri right from 1952 onwards till maybe 1989, there are only Vedam speeches given by Swami. On the very first page of that book, Swami has said, you have to recognize the truth. The Veda constitutes the very foundation of the culture of Bharat. Have firm faith in the truth that Dharma is based upon Veda. If Dharma collapses, the universe may collapse. If universe collapses, Dharma may collapse. But the foundation, Veda, remains intact. If, however, the very foundation, that is Veda, collapses, both Dharma and the universe, this will collapse. Hence, every citizen of this country of Bharat has to strive to protect the Vedas. For both Dharma and the universe are based upon Veda. Now, pardon me for saying this, but this has to sink in. Means, have you realized that if the Veda is ignored completely, all bhajans will end, the university will be no more, the kalpa will end, we will all merge with Bhagwan and have to wait till another cycle to again remove all our karmas, because mergers with Bhagwan at the end of the kalpa does not mean moksha. It is a temporary sleep. So, Bhagwan has said the foundation is Veda, the ground floor is Dharma and the first floor is universe. So, as long as the foundation is there, the ground floor and the first floor will remain intact. If the ground floor, that is Dharma, is destroyed, somehow it can be reconstructed. If the first floor, that is the Srishti, is destroyed, somehow it can come up. But if the very foundation, that is Vedas, they are gone, then the Srishti will go into Mahapralaya. We will all be once merged with Bhagwan. All our activities will come to an end. There will be no families. There will be no bhajan. There will be no seva. There will be no opportunity to work out karma. Because unless and until we work out karma, we cannot attain our own true self, that is God. So this is a very profound statement. This is on the first page of the book, Satya Sai Veda Vani. And wherever I speak about it, people are shocked. But that is the truth. And I know the world is not going to end. But does that mean that we ignore the Veda and propel it towards some sort of catastrophe? No. Embodiments of divine love. Every individual should take a pledge to nourish the Vedas on right lines. The welfare of the nation and the prosperity of the world are dependent upon the Vedas. Within another 10 or 20 years, even the few who possess the Vedic knowledge may not survive. Hence, there is urgent need to take concerted measures to provide the resources and encouragement for the propagation of the Vedic studies. Today, all the ceremonies prescribed by the Vedas are being given up. Most people are engaged in meaningless superstitions. How many are adhering to the Vedic injunctions? People must be prepared to adhere to them even at the cost of their lives. The Vedas must be considered as their life itself. Only those who have this determination and conviction are competent to propagate the Vedas. Be fearless in propagating the Vedas. This is in 1987, Purnachanda Auditorium, during the Dasara discourses. And after this, Swami says that even if you have to give up your life in propagating the Vedas, do it. that life is worthwhile if you give it up while propagating the Vedas. Now, yes, we have accepted that Swami has said this is extremely important. The Vedas are the very foundation of earth. There are some organizations, not the Satya Sai organization, they are spiritual organizations. They say we are doing yoga, we are doing pranayama, we are doing this seva, we are doing that seva. So for that purpose, Swami has very clearly stated that engaging in other spiritual activities at the cost of neglecting Veda is akin to watering the leaves and flowers. If you attend to Veda, that is akin to watering the roots. So you cannot ignore the Veda and do other spiritual activities because they will be fruitless. However many millions of years you may do, if you ignore the Vedas, other spiritual activities have no basis. The very basis of this creation is the Vedas, and the Vedas were an outpouring of love. Just as Bhagwan said, I separated myself from myself so that I could love myself. There was no one to know who I am. The Vedas came in that very process. The Vedas also came out with creation. They were there to sustain us. Just as oxygen sustains this body, the Vedas sustain the spiritual body. And just as we have to eat our two or three meals or one meal every day, the Vedas have to be chanted at least once every day. In Kali Yuga, you cannot say three times a day because even I know Pandits do not do Sandhya three times a day, but we should do at least once a day. Now we come to the reasons. Now people who accept Bhagwan's statement, this topic ends here. But there are many people, not in this auditorium, obviously outside this auditorium, who do not even accept Bhagwan as Bhagwan. For him, if Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba is just a big saint, a very, very noble saint who opened hospitals and other things. So, for such people, we have to have some basis and some logic as to why we should foster and propagate the Vedas. So, first I will cover the points which are relevant for all Bharatiyas. These points are universal, they are not restricted to Satya Sai devotees. At the end, I will cover the points which are restricted to Satya Sai devotees. The Vedas inculcate human values, and today they are very, very badly needed. The human values of Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa have been extracted from the Vedas. We are very fortunate that we have Bhagwan who has done this extraction. Otherwise, to extract them from the Vedas requires very great effort. To study the Vedas itself requires 12 years of effort. Now, Veda, by itself, the word means knowledge. So, when I ask you, why are you going to school? Why are you going to college? You will say, to study. Study what? So and so, geography, history. Then do what? Some people say, okay, to get a job. Some people say, to get a marriage. Some people say, to get knowledge. No, the idealistic will say, no job, no marriage, nothing. I want to get knowledgeable. So that word knowledge in Sanskrit means Veda. So Veda does not mean something connected with a ritual. Adna yasvaha idannamama, vaya vesvaha idannamama. Yes, the rituals are there, but the ritual comes later. The main purpose is mantra chanting and mantra action. After understanding the mantra, you have life. So the Vedas by itself, the word means knowledge, nothing else. So for the idealist who says that I am going to school to study and gain knowledge, this is knowledge. Now, what knowledge is in the Vedas that is not available elsewhere? The knowledge of Iha and Para. Other types of knowledge, whether it is cosmology or astronomy, are available all over the world. But the knowledge of what lies beyond the senses is available only in the Veda. And even if you browse through the texts of other religions, it is hidden in those texts, but in the Veda it is very patent and very clear. What is Ihaloka and what is Paraloka? In fact, Veda itself is Paravidya, Aparavidya, and the Upanishads are Aparavidya, which is the final portion of the Vedas. So Veda, the subject itself, does not mean any ritualistic Hinduism connected body. It means knowledge. The word itself means knowledge. Now, if we argue that does Veda have rocket science? Well, yes. Please show Swami's next slide about the Vimanas. There is a book known as Vaimanika Shastram written by none other than Bharadvaja Rishi. And Baba himself quoted that the Wright brothers are declared to be pioneers, the very first to fly a heavier than air plane in the sky. Their powered flight took place on December 17, 1903. But a German had actually forestalled them by his flight on September 13, 1896. We must note that even earlier than this German, on August 14, 1895, an Indian belonging to Bombay, Shivram Bapuji Kadlekar, had succeeded in a similar feat. His name failed to draw public admiration and his feat was not acclaimed because of the envy, selfishness and the quarrelsome nature of our people. This Grantha is known as the Vaimanika Shastram. It has got drawings, it has got very detailed descriptions on how to construct how many types of planes. There are instructions on how to make a plane invisible. There are instructions on which fuels can be used, and mercury is one of the fuels. Shivaji Bapu Rao Kadlekar had used mercury as a fuel. Today, unfortunately, his own descendants do not know this date, August the 14, 1895. Baba has stated this date, and the only newspaper to have highlighted this feat was the Kesari, run by Lokmanya Tilak. The Kesari highlighted it on the front page. Now, unfortunately, Kesari's records are not available. And at that time, the Times of India and the other papers had reported it in some inner page. So, of this date, maybe even their records are not available. I have not personally gone to the other newspapers. But this pioneering feat was obviously not highlighted by the British, because they were here to rule. They were not here to praise India and Indian achievements. And our own people from Mumbai were envious of this fellow, and they never allowed him to shine. Even the internal combustion engine, it is rumored that a secret Atharva Vedic Yantra Sara is in the safe of the Daimler company. Gottlieb Daimler was part inventor of the internal combustion engine, and he has the Yantra Sara of Atharva Veda, and from this he was inspired to make the internal combustion engine. Today in London, the St. James group of schools has made it compulsory in 99 schools to study Sanskrit. Now, their purpose is not the love of Sanskrit or love of Vedas or love of Bhagwan. They, over the past 20 years, were wanting pandits to interpret scientific texts which they have bought or stolen or plundered from India. And because they found a shortage of pandits willing to settle in London, they decided, because they are all imperial powers, they have planning over 300 years, they decided to train their own students. So today in London, in the St. James School of Students, all students have to compulsorily learn Sanskrit from Standard 1. And this is available on YouTube. And those students from that school chanted the Unity Suktam, which I will be teaching you tomorrow. That is unity for the entire planet Earth. At the inauguration of the Commonwealth Games, and this was witnessed by President Pratibha Patil and the Queen of England. So, I mean, Satyasai students not included, but if I speak for the rest of India, means even Hindi, we have to say, ki humko chullu bhar paani mein doob marna chahiye. We should commit suicide that London students are chanting the Unity Suktam at the inauguration of the Commonwealth Games, and the rest of India is sleeping in tamas. You see, this is the sad state of affairs. I am very fortunate to have addressed all of you, the Asya Satvanaha. That is why I am lucky to be addressing all you Satvikas, and Swami's grace is here. You are not among those who are sleeping. You are very fortunate. And we are here for a very great mission. And this is a point which covers that there is science in the Veda. The government of the United Kingdom has made it compulsory in those schools to study Sanskrit, because they want to unravel scientific secrets. They are not interested in anything else. They are interested in money. Then, we have, of course, what does Veda chanting do? It cleans the inside and it cleans the outside. Now, how does it clean the inside? At this age, sometimes you are confused. So if you clean your inside by regular Veda chanting, you will never be confused. Whatever, if you come to a crossroads where you have to, say, take up engineering, or you have to take medicine, or you might have to take up job A or job B, or try to go overseas or remain in India, at such a point in life, you will not be confused. Your inner voice will be very strong and very clear, and you will have absolutely no problem in recognizing what is the truth for you. Now, there is no one truth for everyone, because each individual has his own chart and his own career. So, there is no prescription which is fit for everyone. Swami has himself sent his own students to UK, US and many other countries. So, whenever personal choices come, and at this age, I have passed through this age, confusion is very great, guidance is practically nil, and unfortunately, parents are even more confused than the students. That is today's Kali Yuga. So, if you chant the Veda, your insides get clean, your mental clarity develops, and because of mental clarity, you know what to do. And even if you have to convince your parents, because of Swami's training, you will very sweetly convince them that, Mama, see, this is this way, this is this way, this is, I have to go to there. And then Mama will say yes, of course, she will oppose after 3 days, after she found out that you have conned her. But this gives you the gift of the gab, this gives you the Saraswati प्रणो देवी सरस्वती वाजेभिर्वाजिनीवती धीनाम अवित्री अवतु. बिकम द अवित्री इन माई धी. अवित्री इज द फेमिनिन ऑफ अवतार. बिकम द प्रोटेक्ट्रिक्स एट द डोर ऑफ माई बुद्धि एंड प्रोटेक्ट मी फ्रॉम बैड थॉट्स. दैट वेरी सेम सरस्वती एक्सप्रेसेस एज वाक शक्ति. सो एनी वन हु कैन स्पीक वेल और कन्विंस वेल, वेदर इट्स अ मदर और वेदर इट्स अ टीचर, हैज गॉट सरस्वती पावर. सो इट गिव्स यू क्लैरिटी ऑफ थॉट. एज फार एज द नेशन इज कंसर्न्ड, इट रिमूव्स नेगेटिव थॉट्स फ्रॉम द सराउंडिंग. इफ यू रीड द रुद्रम, तेषागुम सहस्रयो जने वधन्वानि तन्मसी, द प्रैक्टिशनर ऑफ रुद्रम, हिज वाइब्रेशंस स्प्रेड टू एन एरिया ऑफ सहस्र योजना फ्रॉम हिज सेंटर. नाउ इवन इफ यू कंसिडर वन योजना एज वन माइल, सहस्र योजना इज अ सर्कल ऑफ 2000 माइल्स. एंड इफ यू कंसिडर द ओल्ड मेजरमेंट ऑफ वन योजना इक्वल टू 9 माइल्स, देन वी हैव 9000 and 9000, 18000 माइल सर्कल by which a Rudram chanter influences the atmosphere. Tesham sahasra yojaneva avadhanvani tanmasi. So Veda chanting not only improves your own decision making process, it also impinges upon the general cleanliness and the general negativity of people around you. They may not be aware, but a person who has water thrown on him will be getting wet, whether he knows the formula for water or not. So whether the person knows that you are chanting Veda or whether he doesn't know you are chanting Veda, the Veda chanting will have an effect.
Till now, you had listened to the first part of the workshop conducted by the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashantinilayam campus, on the topic Relevance and Need for Revitalizing the Vedas, a series of talks by Sri Maunish. You will be listening to the second part of the workshop next week. This is Ganesh praying to Bhagwan for having given this opportunity and signing out of this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. In a short while from now, you will be listening to the live proceedings of the Veda chanting and bhajans from the Sai Kulwant Hall. Stay tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.